Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Betsy Woodruff of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual. And, Betsy, we should mention at the outset here that our optimism yesterday might have been a little too optimistic. It turns out that the voters in Albuquerque, by a 10-point margin, ended up rejecting the proposed ban on most abortions after 20 weeks. So that's not actually one of our martinis today, but any analysis as to why this didn't quite turn out the way we hoped and thought?
Yeah, I really lost by a lot. One theory that I was seeing floated around was that Operation Rescue's activities were a big turnoff for some voters. They had, I think, a couple of vans going around with pictures of aborted fetuses. I think that definitely got played up a lot as an issue that really didn't help pro-lifers at all.
So, yeah, 55-45 in Albuquerque. A lot of special interest money coming in. The pro-life side was outspent 4-1, I saw in one report. So the good news yesterday is that the Supreme Court is going to let the Texas law stand while it's adjudicated in lower courts and eventually comes back to the Supreme Court, most likely. So there is a silver lining to that on the abortion front from yesterday. All right, on to martini number one now, and we head to the latest batch of polls on Obamacare. And if you're the administration, this is probably not how you hoped the CBS morning show would start today.
We begin this morning with a fallout from the disastrous rollout of Obamacare. Public confidence in President Obama and his health care law have hit an all-time low.
A CBS News poll out this morning shows only 37% of Americans approve of how the president is doing his job. That is the lowest rating of his presidency. And in the same poll, 43% of Americans say the Affordable Care Act should be repealed.
The downside to that is that 48% still want to fix it, but a very small number actually think it's working well right now. The views on the health care law, 61% disapprove, 31 approve. When you break it down by Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, only 58% of Democrats approve of the law, 29% disapprove. And among Independents, 67% disapprove, only 27% approve. Republicans, as you might expect, 88-5 in disapproval. So, Betsy, this is definitely headed in a direction that pretty soon the momentum is going to be hard to reverse here.
Doesn't look good at all. I think probably the one silver lining for the administration that you mentioned a bit is that 48% of those polled said that they wanted to make some changes to the law but keep it. And then an additional 7% said it's working well and should be kept as is. I don't know who that 7% are, but apparently they exist and CBS found them. So if my calculations as an English major are accurate, that means it looks like 55% of people want to keep the law in place in some form. And that seems like it's okay news for the president, although even 55%, that number is smaller than it has been in the past. This isn't fun data to look at, especially given 37% approval ratings. I mean, that's crazy. That's like, I don't know what Rob Ford's approval ratings are right now. I know people were mentioning this, but it's bad. A lot of it depends on what the website looks like by the end of the month. The president has about 10 days to get it fixed, and I'm not a computer scientist, but the odds of that happening don't seem amazing. So I think if the website's not up and running by the end of the month, then a lot of this stuff is going to be challenging to reverse.
On to martini number two now, Betsy, and the president now has an explanation for why healthcare.gov and all these other exchanges are rolling out in a very rocky manner and why people are losing their individual health plans. He's figured the whole thing out. Here's what he told a forum sponsored by the Wall Street Journal yesterday.
It ended up being passed on a partisan basis, not for lack of trying, because I met with an awful lot of Republicans to try to get them to go along, but because there was just ideological resistance to the idea of dealing with the uninsured and people with pre-existing conditions. Yeah, there was a price to that, and it was that what was already going to be hard was operating within a very difficult political environment, and we should have anticipated that would create a rockier rollout than if Democrats and Republicans were both invested in success. One of the problems we've had is one side of Capitol Hill is invested in failure, and that makes, I think, the kind of iterative process of fixing glitches as they come up and fine-tuning the law more challenging. But I'm optimistic that we can get it fixed.
Two things that stand out here, at least in my mind, Betsy. First of all, the Republicans who are powerless to stop it and have been powerless to change it, their bad vibes apparently are responsible for the bad rollout. and his assessment that the reason Republicans were opposed to this in the first place is because they just didn't want to help people who didn't have insurance and had pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, I thought that was wild. This idea that Republicans are ideologically opposed to helping certain swaths of the population. I mean, what ideology even says that? Is this, I mean, it's like every GOP senator is Scrooge McDuck or something. It's almost just a weird caricature. It doesn't really make sense. And then, yeah, you know, this whole idea that the website would have worked better if only the Republican minority in the Senate and the majority in the House had just, you know, cheerleaded a little bit more. That's nice. I guess that's a good point that you can make. And you can say that in a forum for a newspaper and people might like it. But lived reality kind of belies that. And something is interesting when we were talking about this. I was looking at Greg Sargent's column in the Post today. I believe this is from today. And he kind of makes the same point the president made, which I just found fascinating. He said, It's also anyone's guess whether the website will be close to fully operational by the end of the month. As Brian Butler of Salon notes, there will be very likely continued problems, which will be exacerbated by media hype egged on by Republicans. And it's the same point. A website is dysfunctional is because Republicans are telling the media that it's dysfunctional, and then that makes it worse. I have trouble finding any causal linkage there. And I'm surprised this is a point that gets made. Maybe there's a causal link. Maybe I'm missing it.
MSNBC's website's working fine, right? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I know. It's wild.
Yeah, every organization that conservatives weren't particularly fond of had website problems. We'd be hearing about a little bit more often than just with healthcare.gov. So,
I mean, National Review's website is not flawless, so... I wish the GOP really had the magic touch when it comes to technology. That'd be great.
Well, when you think about Republican messaging at a time like this, Betsy, you know, you kind of want the focus to stay on the problems with Obamacare and hope to build up support for either massive changes or full repeal, which I think most conservatives would be in favor of. And what you don't want is people flying off the handle with crazy comments, and you're trying to kind of guard against things that could be distractions for liberals and the media to pick up on. One of the things you would probably hope as a leader in Congress of Republicans is that one of your members is not going to get arrested for buying cocaine. Apparently, Coke is back in fashion. I didn't realize this, but between Rob Ford and now Florida Republican Congressman, he's a freshman, Trey Radel, just pleading guilty today to a misdemeanor count of cocaine possession. He's going to get a year probation, which is a pretty light slap on the wrist considering what a lot of folks get for Coke possession. But the laws are a little bit more lenient in the district. Man, talk about a boneheaded move.
Womp womp, you know, it's, you gotta feel bad for him. I've spoken with him covering Capitol Hill, and he's always been a really friendly, nice guy. He used to be a reporter, had good relationships with a lot of reporters. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't seen more vitriol directed at him, especially from the D.C. media. Maybe that's a factor of just the fact that he, as a congressman, has been good with sort of media personal relationships. But yeah, I imagine Boehner didn't have do PR about a member of your caucus doing cocaine penciled into his schedule. Not something that you'd be thrilled about. Also, he bought from an undercover cop in like DuPont Circle, which, oof, what's the point of being a congressman if you have to get your cocaine from some random guy you meet in a restaurant, right?
Man, life's tough for a congressman. But his explanation on Facebook was straight out of Rob Ford's book. He blamed it on an alcohol problem that somehow led to buying cocaine. I think a lot of people, who have dealt with benders and so forth, have not exactly been itching to go buy a dime bag once they get over their hangover.
I don't know a ton about connections between alcoholism and cocaine use. It's not really my wheelhouse.
That's a good thing, Betsy.
You know, obviously, yeah, exactly. But obviously, this is a guy who has a lot of serious substance abuse issues, and you know, I'm glad he's seeking help. I'm a little bit surprised that his team handled this scandal the way they did. I kind of would have thought this is the kind of thing you'd want to get in front of. Like, if a congressman gets arrested for doing coke, like it's going to be in the news. It seems fairly inevitable. And I'm a little surprised that they didn't kind of get out in front, you know, make an announcement back in October when it happened, say, hey, here's something coming up. He's going to rehab. It seemed like that this story broke almost seemed to catch them a little bit off guard. I don't know if that's the case or not. I haven't spoken with them about it, but their response seemed competent, but also not 100%. I feel like Olivia Pope could have done better. It's a crazy thing. Yesterday was such a bizarre news day. It was like every 2 hours, something incredibly weird happened.
Yeah, certainly so, especially with the case of Creed Eads in Virginia. Fortunately, he's been upgraded to good condition. For those who don't know the story, he was the Virginia gubernatorial nominee for the Democrats in 2009. It was believe now authorities believe that he was stabbed by his mentally ill son, who then took his own life. And fortunately, it looks like the senator's going to make it. But what a tragedy for that family. And
yeah, absolutely.
What a horrible note to end on as well. But nonetheless, that is where we close for today. And Betsy, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Betsy Woodruff of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. And please tune in on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.